In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we are coming near the end of our journey through the book of Exodus. We're looking at the last five chapters. Now, a lot of the material repeats because it's where they begin to actually build the temple based on the instructions Moses received in the mountain. So a lot of this is just literally repeated material. However, there are some additional insights. And so what we're doing as we move through these five chapters is we're going to show to you what is different. What's the unique information in these five chapters? Now, we're going to begin with Bezalel, Aholab, gifted artisans. These are two individuals that God has specifically chosen to lead the rest of the craftsmen, the artisans, to build the tabernacle. And this demonstrates to us how God is intentional. And it also shows us how work is to be completed. You must have a leader. You must have an assistant. You must have a team, and you must have a plan. And it's exactly what's going on in here. Now, the word wisdom is the word chokmah, which we see in the book of Proverbs. Now, this is knowledge applied skillfully. And I don't want you to miss this, because this is also connected to the word of God. Someone is wise not because they know, only know, but they know how to know and do. In other words, the knowledge is combined with action. The information is applied to application. And when you combine those together and you do it well, that's considered wisdom. So let's make sure we understand how the Bible describes wisdom. It's knowing and doing it well. Now, stirred means to lift up. It's a picture where their heart is lifted up to God to serve. It's a beautiful picture of devotion. They love God and they want to serve the body. The closest we have in the New Testament to this is Acts 4:34, which so happened to be on the inauguration or on the front end of the new covenant. So here we're looking at the old covenant in Exodus. Let's jump to the new covenant. Acts 4:34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, let me stress, many have tried to say this is proof that the Bible supports communism. Everyone shares everything they have. No one has private property, except that is completely unbiblical. In this text, we clearly see everyone does have private property, and then they choose through their own personal generosity to share that and to give that. That is not communism. That is private ownership, and then through their own personal generosity, loving God and loving others. So let's not misunderstand this. And notice it's not everything. It's the things of excess that they had. They had extra lands, extra houses. And so instead of having these extra things, they gave up these extra things to those who had need. Now, what's amazing is what comes next in Exodus 36:3. It's too much. Can you believe this? Listen to this. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each one from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Now, I don't want you to miss this. This giving is intentional. Their giving was regular. Their giving was generous. Their giving was responsible. How would they know they had too much unless there was already a plan in place and they already allocated what they thought they would need? And so when the allocation exceeded what they need, they knew through their accounting practices it was too much. And let me tell you, They probably even had built-in buffer, and it was still too much. There was a plan in place. There was integrity. This is how the church should operate today. The people are giving, but they're giving responsibly, and those who are stewarding the gifts, they're stewarding responsibly. The New Testament equivalent to this is 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Do you see the love that God's people have for the work of God and the people of God? And how God works in us this generosity. He works through providence to give us the abilities and talents. And then we can take those blessings and share them with others. And we're taking care of our own house as well. Now, the order of construction, three times these elements are repeated. Now, the way this goes through the construction is necessary to build the tabernacle. Now, the structure overall, you have layer one, the 10 curtains. You have layer two, the 11 curtains of goat hair. So we have the fine linen first, the goat hair second, the layer three, the ram skins dyed red, layer four, the badger, which is actually a dolphin or a manatee, and tabernacle boards and bars all covered with gold and gold rings. Now, this is the overall structure. Then we move into the most holy place, to the holy place. The veil for the most holy place, four pillars for the most holy place, the veil for the holy place, and then the five pillars for the holy place. Interesting, from four to five there. Now, after you've built the most holy place and the holy place, then we move into the contents, what goes in these particular rooms. The Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat with the poles of gold, the table and the utensil for the showbread and the poles of gold, the lampstand of pure gold and wick trimmers, the altar of incense and the poles of gold, and the anointing oil and incense. Then it focuses on the contents, that is, the outside of the tabernacle and inside the court. So we're moving now outside the tabernacle and looking at inside the court. We have the altar of burnt offering and utensils and poles of bronze and the bronze laver. And then in the court of the tabernacle, we have the fence, which includes the pillars, the bronze sockets, the bands of silver, the linen, and the door and gate. Screen of linen with four pillars, bronze sockets, silver bands, and then the pegs of bronze. So there is a natural order to this. Build the framework, right? Then work on each room, then the contents of each room, then focus what's on outside the tabernacle but still in the courts. Now, the inventory is pretty amazing. The gold, 29 talents of gold plus 730 shekels. The silver, 100 talents plus 1,775 shekels of silver. 70 talents plus 2,400 shekels of bronze. So as I said earlier, they are keeping an accounting. They knew what came in, what was used, what was waste, and what was excess. Now, Numbers 144 gives us some more details, and we're not going to go there, but I just wanted you to be aware of that cross-reference. Now, we also learned there's 100 sockets equal to 100 talents of silver, hooks for pillars overlaid and bands, 1,750 shekels. Now, if you add it up, it looks like there's 25 shekels missing, which probably is waste or unused material. Sockets for the door of the tabernacle meeting, the bronze altar, the bronze grating, utensils, bases, all the pegs, all the bronze is used. Okay? Now, the priesthood, we get into their clothing and what they're going to wear, their garments, high priest garments, the ephod, the breastplate, other priest garments, the ephod, the tunics, the turban, the trousers, and the high priest garment, the sash and the headplate, which reads holiness to the Lord. So again, these chapters 35 through 40 are repeating almost in the same order what we saw in the previous chapters when God was giving this pattern to Moses. And so this is just them now actually building. Now, Moses gives a blessing in chapter 39, verse 43. Then Moses looked all over the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. Now, this must have been a pretty satisfying moment. As Moses reflects upon his time in the mountain with God and the pattern, and then how he communicated that to the artisans, and then they communicated to the team, and then the people contributed, and now they're looking at the finished product, and Moses is saying, that's exactly what you showed me, Lord. And Moses now can see the providence of God working among his people. And I think this is important. A leader needs to entrust his team. A leader, yes, needs to instruct, but he also needs to leave room for each individual in their own specially gifted way to do their job. And where they need help, help them. Where they need maybe additional instruction, sure, instruct them. But there's no way Moses could have micromanaged all this. This had to be entrusted to teams of people who would be faithful in carrying out their duties. Now, this is a pretty neat blessing that Moses provides. If we think about it, there are some pretty significant blessings that we've seen already in the scriptures. If we go back all the way to the days of Abraham, Melchizedek, who was a king and priest, he gave a blessing. Here, we have a prophet and priest giving a blessing. But in the future, we're going to have Christ, who is prophet, priest, and king, give blessing. Pretty neat that we see between Moses and Melchizedek a picture of ultimately Christ. Now, let the building of the tabernacle begin. Now, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, we see it's completed, and we're given a timeline. On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Verse 17 of chapter 40, and it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. It's approximately 1 year since the Exodus. This month shall be the beginning of your months. It shall be the first month of a year to you. So here we are on the first day of the first month. They're setting up the tabernacle. So it took them a year from this to do it, which is a long process. It seems so fast when you read the scriptures, but it does take time. Now, what's the building process? They set up the tabernacle. There's the Ark of the Testimony, the veil of the most holy place, the table of showbread, the utensils of the lampstand, the altar of the incense. The incense is burned for the first time, and there's the first prayer. You have the screen to the tabernacle, the altar of the burnt offering, and by the way, there's sacrifice and grain offering. Second is preparing for the priesthood. There's the laver and it filled with water, the cord around the tabernacle, the screen door to the tabernacle, the anointing oil for Moses, and Moses is the one who is going to anoint the high priest. The tabernacle and everything that's in it, the laver, the base, Aaron and his sons to the door of the meeting. They wash them. Aaron is dressed. He's anointed. Then Aaron's sons are dressed and anointed as well. And then comes the moment of worship. On the west, you have the Holy of Holies and the holy place. On the east is the courtyard entrance. Now, I should mention this. This is really important as we wrap up. Pagans worship facing the rising sun of the east, whereas the high priest worships God with the sun to his back. And that's because God is the creator. We don't go to the created thing and worship it or even give a homage or direction to it. And so this is very intentional. At the end of the day, what do we have? We have God dwelling with his people. Now, I have more to talk about on the tabernacle and how things are going to change dramatically later in the future. But right now, we have a sweet moment where God has worked with his people to build them a house so he can dwell among them. And let's remember, God has put his spirit in you as a born-again believer, and now you can worship him wherever you go in the world. May you truly worship him in spirit and truth.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.